We'll begin with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that you be with us now as we meditate upon a precious section of the Word which you have given us for the salvation of our souls. And we pray that you open the meaning of Scripture to us as only you can do, and strengthen our faith in our Savior as we grow in grace and knowledge of Him. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Luke 21, verses 25 through 28, more signs. The days of this earth have been numbered from immediately after the great flood in the days of Noah. In Genesis chapter 8, verse 22, literal translation would be this: while days of earth remain, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. So from that time until now, there have been signs that the days of the earth as we know it are coming to a close. And surprisingly enough, at least, until we think about it, the signs have been pretty much the same throughout the centuries. It seems to me that the difference now is that in our wicked generation, the signs are intensified. And the words of Jesus here in Luke 21 show how very close to the end we are. So fasten your seat belts. We come now to the grand finale. And there shall be at the very end of the world these signs. Connection with until. But going back to verse 25, and there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars. Sun, moon, and stars. And upon earth, distress of nations with perplexity, and sea and waves roaring. So these signs are at the very end of the world. The connection is with the word until at the end of verse 24, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. So it's not surprising that the history of the Gentile Christians parallels the history of the Jewish believers. Started out real good as a nation and deteriorated very, very quickly. And from the book of Acts, where the New Testament Christian church was given a good start in Pentecost, but it went downhill very, very quickly. And so we come to the end. Now the times of the Gentiles have just about been fulfilled. It can't get much worse than it is right now. And these signs are at the very end of the world right now. The signs that we're looking at that Jesus gives us. Connection with until, that's the key thing. We think of Matthew 24, verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days, and that's the end of the Gentiles, the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled, then shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Distress of nations and perplexity. Those are strong words. Their hearts are kind of held in a vice. There's an utter loss of what to do. They don't know what to do. Perplexity, three hits. Distress, two hits. 3 is the number of resurrection, and 2 is the number of witness. And that's meaningful right now in the world we're living. And then 3 plus 2 is 5, and that's the number of grace for God's people. When we see the earth falling apart, that's a sign that new heavens and new earth are about to come. And children of God are thankful for it. Sea and waves roaring. Sounds like it must have been during the flood. Dislocation of the entire world. Everything is falling apart. And there's nothing we can do about it. And men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Now, the two verses that we've just read are happening very suddenly, all at once. They should be read that way. These are the signs of the very end of the world. There shall be signs in the sun, the moon, the stars, and upon the earth, distress of nations, perplexity, sea and waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And bang, it happens just like that. Nobody saw it coming. The children of God knew that it was coming because they believed Scripture. So, we wonder how this can happen and how it can happen so quickly in such a short period of time, a matter of seconds, if you will. And scientists tell us that's not possible. It's not. There are stars out there that are millions of light years away from the earth. Millions of light years. And it would take years and years and years and years and years and years and years for all these stars to come together. There's something that they're not aware of. And it gets back to what the old gray-haired professor told us in our senior class when we were about to graduate. And he said, young men, when you preach, make Christ big. Make Christ big. And so that's the goal of our preaching. But it's not a fake thing where you make up things to make Christ look good. What it is in making Christ big is looking at what Scripture says. That's what it is. There is a verse in Colossians that is precious beyond words in looking at what we're looking at right now. And I'm talking about the sun, moon, and stars being shaken, and the earth, powers of heaven shaken, and the earth is going down. And it's going to happen quickly. I'm going to read the passage in the King James translation, and then I'm going to read the same passage in the Amplified Bible, which is going to, the Amplified is going to amplify this just a little bit. Both translations are excellent. So King James translation, Colossians chapter 1, actually verses 16 and 17, reads this way. For by him, the him is Jesus Christ, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Invisible? We don't even know what that is. But they're there. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And now verse 17. And he is before all things. It doesn't say he's created before everything else. No, he wasn't created. He's eternal. And he, Christ, is before all things, and by him all things consist. So what does that mean? The key that unlocks the treasure here is the word consist. And the Amplified Bible translates the two verses in Colossians 1 in this way. For it was in him that all things were created, in heaven and on earth, things seen and things unseen, whether thrones, dominions, rulers, or authorities, all things were created and exist through him, by his service, intervention, and in and for him. And he himself existed before all things, and in him all things consist, brackets, cohere, are held together. By him all things are held together. And I remember the day when I sat in a chemistry lecture at the University of Wisconsin in Madison, and at the end of the lecture, I went up to the professor and I asked him a couple of questions, and one of them was, how does the nuclear thing in an atom hold together? How does that hold together? And he said, son, if I could answer your question, I'd be a multimillionaire. Translation, we don't know. We don't know how they hold together. Well, the answer is right here. In him, all things are held together. Now, how can Christ be made any bigger than that? How many people in the world today, when they got up this morning and went outside to start the day, how many of them realized that the very ground that they are walking on are held together by Christ? And the sun that is shining in at this time of the year in the springtime is so beautiful and warm and comforting. That's being held together with all the rest of the stars. They're all being held together by Jesus Christ. How many people are aware of that? Day after day after day after day, we live that way. We are living on a planet that could explode in one split second. And not only the planet, but the sun, moon, and stars. They could all be wiped out in one single second. And all Jesus would have to do is stop holding them together. That's all he would have to do. Withdraw his power, wham! Done. Make Christ big. Can't make him any bigger than that. We think of Proverbs chapter 8, beginning at verse 22. And these are the words of Jesus Christ himself. This is what he says. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way. The beginning. Before anything was created, it was the Lord God and his only begotten Son working through the Holy Spirit. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting. Well, what does that mean? It means that in eternity past, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit agreed that man, who had rebelled against God, and they knew that was coming, should be saved by the Son becoming a human being, living the perfect life that God demanded of all of us, and then offering himself as a sacrifice for the sins of the world. That was set up from the very beginning, before anything was created. It wasn't something that they concocted after the devil tempted Adam and Eve into sin, and then God had to react to it. God never reacts to what the devil does. God is always the one that starts things. He makes the big moves. And so this was all settled from the beginning. That's why the tree of the knowledge of evil was called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because a lot of good was going to come from it. And Christ has made you and I right now in a much, much better situation than Adam and Eve were before they fell into sin. We're in a much, much better situation. So anyway, Christ talking, I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. Almost too good to be true, isn't it? Truth is stranger than fiction. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. Not created, brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set, he now is God the Father, when he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment. And you know what he did to do that? Some little grains of sand on the beach. Some little grains of sand stop the mighty waves of the ocean from going too far. Little grains of sand. How powerful God is in such little things. When he strengthened the fountains of the great deep, he gave the sea his decree that the water should not pass his commandment. When he appointed the foundations of the earth, what does that mean? Who knows? Then I was by him as one brought up with him. And I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. And this is Jesus talking. Back during the creation, his delights were with the sons of men. We could say his delights were with his bride. He was looking forward to a marriage when God the Father would give him a bride, all glorious just like he is, for it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Nobody has seen him that way yet, but it's coming. And Christ was involved in this from the very beginning. That's exciting. And this gives you the real definition of love. God is a God of love. The Father loves the Son. And the Father loves the bride of the Son. And that's what this is all about. John, the gospel writer, under the guise of the Holy Spirit here, being guided by him, kind of summarized this in a little easier, a little shorter. In his opening words of John chapter 1, the gospel, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So the Word was And he, God said, that's the word, God said, let there be light. And there was light. And let's not make the emphasis on the wrong word. Let's not translate it this way. God said, let there be light, and there was light. Surprise, surprise. No, that you don't try to translate it that way. God said, let there be light, and there was light. That's the way it reads. What God says is always going to come to pass. There's no surprise in any of this. Nothing. All things, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. That's what Proverbs said. Now John is saying the same thing. And without him was not anything made that was made. Translation, our arch enemy Lucifer, the devil, is a created being. He's not eternal. Nor are any of the angels. They are all created beings. None of them are eternal, except the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, but the darkness comprehended it not. And then slide down in the same chapter to verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the greatest miracle this world has ever seen. The almighty, all-powerful, eternal Son of God became a little baby, born of the Virgin Mary, and laid in a manger at Bethlehem. And when the angels announced his birth to the shepherds who were keeping watch over their flock by night, they came and saw the evidence. A little baby. A helpless little baby. And yet, true God in every single way. So, none of this is impossible. In fact, you would expect it. That the stars are going to be wiped out immediately. Sun, moon, and stars. Everything's going to go down in one split second. Because Jesus Christ stops holding it together. He withholds. He withdraws his power and everything collapses. And it didn't take hundreds of thousands of light years for it to happen. Then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great mourning. Probably great glory. So where are we when all this happens, by the way? This sounds like a scary, scary thing. Well, the dead in Christ are going to rise first when he comes, and then we that are alive shall be caught up together with them when the whole family is together now in the air to meet the Lord Jesus as he comes down. So we're not going to be on the earth when this happens anymore. We'll watch it, but we're not going to be involved in it. Only the heathen are. Daniel talks about this. It's coming. He's coming in the clouds. And then they shall see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And here's this cloud. And if you do a little word study on the word cloud, this is an interesting word. It's used over and over and over again in Scripture. One example would be Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Reads this way, and I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man. This is a terminology that means Jesus Christ. He's called the Son of God. He's also called the Son of Man. and one like unto the Son of Man came in the clouds of heaven. This is why every day when we, especially I think spring and summer and fall, you look and there are times when there are these fantastically beautiful clouds. And every time we see them, we look up into the heaven and wonder, is this the cloud that is hiding Jesus Christ? And he's going to step out from beside it, among it, and come back and save us. We wonder about that. We see these clouds. You can't help but do that. And Daniel saw that. He, Son of Man, came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days. Who's that? The Ancient of Days. That's the Father, the Ancient One. And they brought him near before him. And so this one like unto the Son of Man comes up to the Ancient of Days, and there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. Well, that's never happened yet. Not yet, but it's going to. And his dominion is an everlasting dominion. It's going to last forever, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed. What a king that is! You know, the best possible government we could have is to have a king that has full power over every single thing, and he's a good king, and he loves us. He loved us so much he died to save us from our sin. That's the best government we could have, and we're going to have it. We're going to have it. And Daniel saw it. Psalm 104, opening verses, we're working with that word cloud. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, thou art very great. The Holy Spirit uses these words with great meaning. Not great, but very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. Thou coverest thyself with light, as with a garment, who stretcheth out the heavens like a curtain, who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds his chariot. There's the clouds again, and they're the chariot of the Son of God, who walketh upon the wings of the wind, who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers a flaming fire, who laid the foundations of the earth that it should not be removed forever. So, when we see clouds, this is what we're thinking of. They're important things. Isaiah 19, verse 1, the burden of Egypt. Egypt, arch enemy of God and his son and the bride. The burden of Egypt. Behold, the Lord rideth upon a swift cloud. It's going to happen quickly. It's going to happen quickly. He rideth upon a swift cloud and shall come into Egypt. And the idols of Egypt shall be moved at his presence, and the heart of Egypt shall melt in the midst of it. And then finally, we can't help but think of the last time that Christ was visible upon this earth, and it's recorded in the first chapter of Acts, beginning at verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. The cloud. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. So if he went up and was hid by a cloud, he's going to come back the same way. He's going to be behind that cloud, and he's going to step out, and we're going to see him. That's going to happen. And you look at the importance of the cloud back in the Old Testament times, when the Jewish nation was born on Passover night down in Egypt, when the angel of death passed through the land of Egypt and killed the firstborn of man and beast and all throughout the land of Egypt, except the homes that had the blood of the lamb smeared on the doorpost. And when the angel saw that blood, he would pass over that house. The blood of the lamb had already been shed for the sin. But the others, they died. Started with Pharaoh, and it went down to the lowest slave in the whole land of Egypt. And there was a cry of death that went through all Egypt. And Pharaoh himself lost what would have been the heir to his kingdom after Pharaoh died. His firstborn son was killed. So then you go to Exodus chapter 31. The Lord went before them. This is the children of Israel now when they left Egypt and they went into that great and terrible wilderness. It was the most God-forsaken place on the face of the earth, with maybe the exception of the South Pole, which one of the explorers said that was the most God-forsaken place in the world. But this one, the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud, and Jesus was in that cloud, to lead them the way. And by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and by night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day nor the pillar of the fire by night from before the people. Make Jesus great. He was in that cloud and for 40 years he led them through that great and terrible wilderness. That's amazing. And when he comes, he's going to come in great glory. And now the Son of God ends this part of the sermon with these words. When these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And the these things go back at least to verse 20. These are the signs that we see happening every single day throughout the whole world. And then the grand finale is going to come. And it's going to come quickly. And so this applies to us today. We should be walking around with our head in the air every single day. We're getting close.